you know why you're afraid when you're alone? I do. I do.
I see dead people. They don't see each other. They only see what they want to see. They don't know they're dead.
Hello, Now Playing listeners. Longtime host Stuart here, asking just a little bit of your time to talk about big things here at the podcast. Big is the only way to describe 2018. There were big superhero movies like Black Panther, Deadpool 2, Infinity War, big horror movies like Halloween, Hereditary, The Nun, big action, Mission Impossible Fallout, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, big family films, Incredibles 2, Rampage, Ralph Breaks the Internet, and of course big sci-fi like Ready Player One and Solo. We've been able to cover all these big event films because Now Playing receives big support from our listeners, who continue to help us meet the unyielding demand of producing 100-plus podcasts a year by giving us big downloads and continued financial support. We racked our brains to come up with a way to give a big thank you to all the patrons and donors as we close out the year, and once I saw that Glass was primed to be the first big film of 2019, I knew that it was now the right time to finally do that M. Night Shyamalan retrospective. He is a writer-director who makes big films with big stars, and they grapple with big themes, and they cover all the genres that we cover here at Now Playing. As I've mentioned, horror, sci-fi, action, family films. He does what we do in his repertoire, and so, yes, sometimes they end up being among the biggest box office successes of all time, like Ghost Story The Sixth Sense or alien invasion blockbuster Signs. And sometimes they flop big time with both critics and audiences, and that will be the fun of this series. We will ride an incredible wave of ups and downs as we follow his Hollywood career. Our fall 2018 gold-level donation series is going to be the biggest one we've ever done. 11 M. Night Shyamalan thrillers, starting with the acclaimed Sixth Sense and Unbreakable, building to Split and Glass, which will launch Knight's superhero characters into their own epic movie universe. Why don't you take a listen to a snippet from this week's show? It's The Sixth Sense. I'll be back to tell you how you can hear the whole thing and help Now Playing continue to meet its operational costs.
And I just want to back Arnie up. I do think Donnie Wahlberg gives a really good performance here for what he's asked to do. Again, unrecognizable. This guy was a new kid, and I don't know, looks like he hasn't eaten in a couple weeks.
No, he like starved himself or something, because I know Donnie Wahlberg from the Saw movies, and so do you, Jacob, and he doesn't look like this, and he doesn't act like this well in the Saw films.
Why is he in his underwear? Like, Donnie in the behind the scenes said that he wanted it to show that the character was ready to kill himself. But is that what it conveys?
No, again, to me, it just says, oh, this guy's really lost it, that he's stripped down.
It's like, oh, I want to show you that I'm really method, and I really like didn't eat for the part.
Well, it tells me insanity. It tells me this guy's freaking nuts.
Which he isn't.
I think he is. I think that seeing ghosts this long has driven him insane. I think it's some form of Chinese water torture where he just has cracked from being assaulted by ghosts his entire life. I mean, I have some logistic problems with the setup. Like, were they born with this? Are they in the crib and ghosts are screaming at them and puking on them and all of this? Or is it something that is developed around age 10? Because Cole, if something starts happening at birth, you wouldn't find it scary by the time you're 10. After dealing with it for 10 years, you'd just be like, God damn it, another one.
Well, later we'll notice that Cole's mom is looking at pictures where he's real young, and there's those little shimmering lights which we're supposed to believe are ghosts that he's looking at, and he was like a baby in some of those pictures.
Yeah, I think we are to think that divinity, I mean, that's a big theme with M. Night. I do think he believes that a lot of things happen because the universe presents it to you, and so yeah, that he was born that way.
It's a little bit of a problem there. The other problem is we see Malcolm get shot, and Bruce Willis certainly appears to be dying. He's like, it doesn't even hurt anymore.
I don't know why I missed it.
I mean, I am mad at myself in 1999 because it almost seems clumsy, really.
The film student didn't get it. How dare you, Stuart?
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't see it, but it seems pretty obvious. My only guess is casting. I didn't see Armageddon, and apparently Bruce Willis died in that film.
That's right. Yeah, spoiler.
But in a very heroic way. But this may be otherwise his only screen death. He was an action star that rarely took these kinds of roles. It's why he did this film, was because it was a chance to do something more subtle, more internal acting style. Every now and then he throws you 12 Monkeys, but for the most part, his career is full of a lot of junk.
He died in 12 Monkeys, too.
Right. Well, you know, no. No, you can, we have that show. We can talk about the meanings of that.
And he's wearing the toupee again here. Didn't you have the Bruce Willis hair theory?
Yes. Usually, he's better when he's bald, and it's clearly a wig.
I actually disagree, because here, I'm seeing in Bruce Willis, especially in these early scenes, I'd just forgotten. I mean, let's understand, this movie's hitting its 20th anniversary next year. Bruce Willis was 45, and now he's 65. I see a little bit of David Addison in here. I see a little bit of a Bruce that knows how to smile and actually tell a joke versus the guy I saw in Death Wish who looked like he had a death wish.
Yeah, I think this is a friendlier Bruce. I don't know if he's right for this role. I'd never believe that he's a child psychologist. At one point, he's going to talk about how he loves children. I'm like, ah, not buying it. I'm not taking my kid to you.
Yeah, and he doesn't even have children of his own. That seems incongruous. Bruce is not very good in this movie, but I do agree with you. His sarcastic quality is helpful in throwing off the scent. When we cut from his death scene here, or just him getting injured is what we're led to believe, to 1 year later, he's going to approach this kid and use a lot of smirks and sarcasm to kind of charm him, and we just don't think of ghosts haunting people in such a way.
Yeah, and I'm just saying that I liked Bruce Willis best in his early career on Moonlighting, the first Die Hard, even the second Die Hard to a degree. And I think the balder he got, the less fun he got. So here he's got a wig and he's got a good personality going on. I'm taken with this Bruce Willis. Then, of course, we get introduced to Cole Sear, Haley Joel Osment.
What happened to him after this film? He never acted again, right? This is it. He did one perfect role and he never showed up again.
Well, no, he was Forrest Jr. in Forrest Gump. Mm-hmm. He was the son of Forrest at the end of that film.
I mean, you're talking about a shot. He sat in front of a TV.
You know what? No. I rewatched Forrest Gump this year. The scene where he talks to the bus driver and talks to his dad at the very end of the movie, I was like, wow, that kid's really good. And I didn't realize it was Haley Joel Osment. Now, he had 3 good years of fame. He had this movie. He had Pay It Forward the next year.
Oh, that's a terrible film.
Nope, I didn't pull my wallet out for it.
Awful.
I saw it and it was bad. And then he had AI the year after that.
Oh, that's right. Oof.
You're saying these are 3 good years. He had 3 years of high-profile films.
Yes.
Okay.
And then he is still acting, but like independent film and things. Until he shows up in Glass, I don't think we'll have seen him in anything else.
I saw him in Tusk. He was in a Kevin Smith horror film a couple years ago.
Yeah, I think he got into the Kevin Smith troupe. I think he was also in Yoga Hosers.
Well, not every child star. In fact, most child stars don't go on to anything great, but thank God they got him for this film, because I don't think Bruce could have carried this film with a different kid.
Oh, he is everything for everything. This film. I, as I'm watching it this time for the show, I'm trying to imagine, Bruce is fine, they could have done better, but man, you don't have Haley Joel here, this film falls flat.
He acts so far beyond his years. He's an 11-year-old playing a 9-year-old. You can tell why he disappeared 2 years later. Puberty hit at 13. But he acts like an adult. He emotes, his facial expressions, his diction, the way he pronounces words, and then the way he delivers them. He didn't win Best Actor is a shame.
Well, he was up for Best Supporting Actor. So that in of itself is kind of a shame because he is the star of this film.
Absolutely. I know he was third billed under Bruce and Tony, but he is this film. He is the heart of this film. And there are times when he makes facial expressions, and I could swear he was 20. And he just is amazing.
But I'm a believer that if you see a child doing a great thing on screen, you must give half that credit to their director. Because Okay, maybe he had learned some stuff on Forrest Gump. You're right, he wasn't completely new to the scene of film acting, but usually children need a lot of help and coaxing. And we should give some props to M. Night for being able to get him to get these takes.
True, but this kid is something special. The reason he got this job, what I read online looking at some interviews, is he met with the kids and was talking to them, and Haley was like, well, I read it three times last night. And M. Night's, you read your part three times last night? And Haley's like, no, I read the script three times last night. I started talking about its themes and everything. I had to look up Joel Osment to see if this kid's like a prodigy. Is he in NASA now? I mean, really, it seems like his mind was advanced beyond his years, too.
Yeah, what I appreciate about the way he plays Cole, I buy him as a troubled kid and not in a overacting Hollywood way. There's something very reserved and a lot of internal acting, which to come from a child, to me, I don't know much about acting, but that seems like a pretty big feat to have a child do the amount of internal acting that he's doing, where it is just facial expressions, just the tone of his voice or the way he moves. It blows me away that his performance in this movie.
And so, if you want to hear the rest of this show and all 11 podcasts in our M. Night Shyamalan Thrillers retrospective, head over to nowplayingpodcast.com, click the banner at the top of the page, follow the instructions on how you can become a goal-level donor. It's a donation of $30 that will get you a total of 16 bonus podcasts. Because not only are you receiving M. Night, but you're going to get 5 additional silver-level donation shows that are going to dig into the legacy of Italian horror icon, director Dario Argento. He is the creator of a horror classic from 1977 called Suspiria. It and its sequels, Inferno and Mother of Tears, form a trilogy known as The Three Mothers. And so you're going to get all 3 of those shows when you go gold. Plus, we've covered Argento's camp classic Phenomena. Plus, we've covered the new Suspiria remake that's been blowing up in limited release here in America. You're going to get all of those shows, 16 total. It's the biggest gift we could come up with for listeners this season, and we thank you in advance for continuing to allow us to produce all the content that we do. We see donating people. And it fills our hearts and gives us the means and motivation to continue into an even bigger year of podcasting that we've got planned for 2019, which happens to be my 10th anniversary with the show. And so thank you again for listening. Thank you for donating. Thank you for helping us to continue to produce this unbreakable streak of podcasts. I will talk with all of you soon.
Your support helps keep Now Playing on the air.
What do you think they want?
Just help.
That's right. That's what I think too. They just want help, even the scary ones.
Venganza Media Incorporated is not affiliated with, and this podcast has not been prepared, approved, or licensed by any entity that created the film analyzed herein.
You ever feel the prickly things on the back of your neck?
Yes.
The tiny hairs on your arm, you know, when they stand up. That's them. They get mad.
All movie clips and music included in this podcast are the intellectual property of their respective copyright holders. They are included here for the purpose of review, and no infringement is intended.
I don't know which one of these guys told you that, but they were just trying to scare you.
Now Playing Podcast is an exclusive trademark of and may not be used without the express written permission of Ngonza Media Incorporated.
Laws were passed here, some of the very first laws of this country. This whole building was full of lawyers, lawmakers.
They were the ones that hanged everybody.
Now Playing is a Ngonza Media production, copyright 2018, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Ngonza Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.
I don't want to be scared anymore.